Hi, this is Pete Peterson, Executive Director for the Davenport Institute for Public Engagement and Civic Leadership at Pepperdine School of Public Policy, and I'm very excited to be joined here by Dan Newman, founder and president of MapLight, and we've just had Dan speak to our students at the School of Public Policy as part of our Davenport discussion series, and Dan, welcome to this discussion.
Thank you, Pete.
Dan, I wondered if we could begin by you telling the listeners a little bit about what MapLight does and your experience in starting up the organization almost 10 years ago.
MapLight is a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization. We're based in the San Francisco area, and we track money and politics both nationally for Congress and also here in California. We take all the money given to politicians, put it in one big database with how they vote, so you can see patterns of influence that you could never see before.
You'd mentioned to the students that the availability of what's being known as open data has really changed the work you do. You'd mentioned specifically that for some time, there has been an availability to the public of seeing how their legislator votes, and there also may have been available data on fundraising, but the ability to cross-match and compare those things has not been possible. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about how the availability of data in a more open format is really changing what the public can know.
So with the rise of the internet in practical use for people over the last 15 years, there's now an expectation among members of the public that they should be able to have public data. It shouldn't be locked away in a file cabinet in a bureaucracy. You shouldn't have to go into City Hall and look at binders, but you should be able to pull it up on the web because the taxpayer has paid for this information and the public owns it. Mm-hmm. And there has been increasing recognition about this, including in government agencies, but oftentimes that government agencies, like all large institutions, are extremely slow to act on this. And we at MapLight have had to pressure state agencies. We've had to sue state agencies to get them to release data that the public really should have.
You also mentioned in your discussion about the importance of connecting with the media. It's one thing to do the great work you're doing and sort of expect the public to find the MapLight website and find this data, but you really have been very intentional about making sure you're communicating with the media in ways that they can then bring greater attention to many of these fundraising issues.
Our philosophy is that in this day, media day and age, that if the information that you're producing is not shared, if it's not out there in other publications, then it's not really valuable to people. And so we put a tremendous amount of effort into having both professional and blogger journalists use our information, make so any citizen can post it on social media. Mm-hmm. And let me give you an example of the effectiveness of this. So there was a bill in California to put a kill switch on cell phones. So it was an anti-theft measure that you could permanently disable your phone remotely if it was stolen. And cell phone companies make billions of dollars a year from people buying replacements for stolen phones. So they don't really have an economic incentive to help reduce this theft.
Right.
And so MapLight put together the campaign contributions from Sprint, Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. We showed how that correlated with votes in the California legislature on the cell phone bill, and that generated news stories in California, our analysis, and it actually, subsequent to that, the bill was reintroduced and then actually passed. So by calling out specific contributors who have an economic interest, correlating it with how they vote, and making sure it doesn't just live on our website, but it's out there in the world where people do their reading and where people get their news, that's how to use the information to effectively promote change.
You had mentioned that this has been an evolution in many ways, which has correlated almost directly with the growth of technology, especially online technology, but also database technology, in making information more available and understandable. You had mentioned, and I thought this was very interesting, that in California, there had been a website, and still is a website, called LegInfo. It's spelled L-E-G-I-N-F-O, that would make available information about how their legislator is voting. But it had always been offered in such a way that it was very difficult, if not impossible, to A, search the information there, but B, connect the data there to other data sets. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that and the resistance of the government to the work you're trying to do.
Right. Imagine you have an Excel spreadsheet that has 20,000 rows in it. But instead of being able to just sum them all up and average them, you have 20,000 pieces of paper and each one has a row on it. Like, it's not really practical to do anything with that mile-high stack of paper. And that's the format in which the government was giving us the records of voting. You could look up one particular vote, but you couldn't look at patterns and combine it with other data. So we ask the government of California for the downloadable database of this information, and they shockingly refused to give it to us. It's a public document, but they refused to give it to us. So we obtained a legal counsel. We sued the state under the Public Records Act, and we successfully settled the suit, and the state paid our legal fees, and more importantly, put this information up daily for anyone in the country to download. So we're really happy about that public access victory, and we wish it didn't have to take a lawsuit to get this kind of public access to the public's information.
Well, and I think what that experience raises, and I want to make sure that the listeners hear this as well, it's not just about making data itself available. It's about making it available in a format that can then be used. I was wondering if you could just put a finer point on the difference between those two.
So the key thing for governments, this is local and state government as well as nationally, to do is to release their data in a bulk downloadable form. So that means, like the technical term would be XML or comma separated value. It's just a simple format that says, here's all the data we have. And this should be minimally what the government is doing. If the government wants to build a nice website, a search engine to help citizens find the data, that's great. We support this. But at minimal, they should disclose all the information in bulk so that any organization or person that wants to make use of it actually has it easily to dig into.
So a final question then, and you've kind of given me a segue. The relationship between governments and civic organizations like yours in the provision of data and information, public data and information that the public needs to know. The government has always been a possessor of data and a creator of data. But until recently, and it could be argued in many cases currently, it is the sole provider of data. And I think one of the things that MapLight has done, and other organizations are doing this, especially in other areas, is providing that role of being a visualizer of data. And I was wondering if you could talk about that, just that relationship.
I think that the outside organizations like MapLight are always going to be ahead of the government in terms of where should public information be going, how could the government best serve its citizens. I mean, it's inherent in any bureaucratic institution that it's going to be more inward focused. It's going to be more focused on delivering what they're currently doing. And so I think what civic organizations like MapLight can bring is to say, look here, government agency, look at how these great examples of what other government agencies are doing. Look how well you could be serving the public. Here are some easy tools to do that. Mm-hmm. And MapLight is really proud to be among the group of civic organizations that's really helping move government forward.
So they can obviously see some of your work in a myriad of newspapers and journalistic outlets. But if folks wanted to find out more about the organization, if you could give out the website.
Yeah, you go to maplight.org. That's MAPLIGHT, maplight.org.
Dan, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Pete.
This has been Pete Peterson, Executive Director of the Davenport Institute for Public Engagement and Civic Leadership. Thanks so much for joining us.